really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
Hey, Baskin-Robbins, if you ever want to come...
On my face.
Alex.
You just shook up the world. How's that feel?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
And Dave.
Meanwhile, Michael Jackson is freed in a motherfucker smelling like little boys' booty holes, and I'm supposed to be excited.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to 135 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of March 9th, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dave and Alex. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Fucking worked all day and spent too much money at night.
Ooh, that's never a good time.
Nah, yeah, lame.
And Dave, how are you doing? Hopefully a little bit better.
Hyped.
You don't get hyped, you stay hyped.
I stay hyped. No, I took a nap earlier, I'm all awake.
When you're not hyped, you're sleeping. You're napping.
Yeah. Now he's hyped.
From the itis. All right, let's go into our first segment, as always, news. All right. You know the time, guys. Comic book sales. Dave, do you have them right in front of you?
Pulling it up right now. Let's see.
Okay, I got them ready to go.
Yeah, I got them now.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, number one, Dark Knight. Number three, The Mess Race. Number three.
Surprising, considering, you know, the last month it was bumped down a little bit.
$6.
I know, still. Oof.
$146,000.
Making back that money that they lost when they moved to Burbank.
Hey, before I forget, when we had, what's his name, Joe Keating on?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Guy
Writes Ringside.
Yes.
For people who listen to that, he got very upset when we talked about comic sales. He did bring up some good points, though. I always remind everyone this doesn't include digital sales.
No, these are just physical sales to retailers. Direct marketing.
And it's...
Estimates.
They're also estimates. And he pointed out something that I never pointed out, which is this doesn't even include European sales. I don't know how heavy European sales of comics are, but they would be across all of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that could be quite hefty. Now, having said this, I don't particularly want to argue with a comic writer who is publishing creator-owned books. However, if you want to argue about how accurate these are, it doesn't change the fact that books that sell low on the sales charts we look at do tend to be the books that get canceled.
Yeah, I'm sure the numbers, the final numbers are different, but the rankings I'm sure are very similar.
Yeah, they could sell better, they could sell worse, we don't actually know. But this would explain some of the things that we look at a book and we're like, holy shit, it's only selling 15,000 copies, why is Marvel still publishing it? Well, could be digital sales, could be something else. It could sell really well in Germany. Like the WWE Network does really well in Germany.
Mentioning that little infactoid.
Over 4 million subscribers.
You should have told me so I could have the WWE music going. The Did You Know?
You know why it does so well in Germany?
Oh God, here it comes.
Okay, it's because, the Germans are all evil. And, WWE is all about the authority controlling everything now, and the Germans are very comfortable with that.
Alex's opinions don't necessarily reflect those of Comic Conversations.
Fuck Germany.
I guess it could also be, like you mentioned before, trades. It was like, well, they can get a trade out of it and so well.
Yeah, because the trade numbers we get from Comic-Con are almost entirely worthless because it's just Amazon sales. Like, so anything in a bookstore, anything in a comic shop, and trades are sold in comic shops. They're not even shown there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, moving on. Number two, Dave.
Star Wars number 16.
Wow, still selling really well.
Yep, it always.
And Batman, new Spider-Man.
Yeah, the number one Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, that threw me through for a loop for a second. Yeah, it just says Spider-Man, not Amazing Spider-Man.
5 and 6 are two Deadpool books. 7 is Vader. The shocking one is number 8 is Power Man and Iron Fist. A comedy book with two not A-list characters, although both of them are getting TV shows.
Yeah, I think it's more of that than anything else.
No, we'll see with number two. If number two holds up kind of well, then there might be something to the whole Power Man having been on that Netflix show.
I got a feeling this book is going to drop in half. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't particularly good.
Remember, these are direct to markets. These aren't necessarily what was purchased. This is what stores decided to buy. So when issue two comes around.
But here's a kicker. Even if they are what they order, if there is a certain pattern after like a certain number of books that you're like, okay, it tends to sell in this range. Because even if a number one is like 300,000, if numbers two through like 10 are like in 150,000 range, then that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Number 9, Amazing Spider-Man. Number 10, Justice League. Number 11, Amazing Spider-Man. Number 12, Spider-Man Deadpool. 13, Walking Dead. 14, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Woo, still up there.
And that's a number
15, Old Man Logan.
Oh, awesome.
That was issue 2.
All right, let's see.
16, Invincible Iron Man. 17, Obi-Wan and Anakin issue 2. So they are draws. 18, Avengers Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill.
That one did not sell particularly very well.
It wasn't really the start of the, well, it was kind of the start of the crossover, but I bet Alpha sells better. Mighty Thor and All New, All Different Avengers. And then, I'm trying to quickly go through because we didn't look at this before and see if there's anything interesting. Oh, no, Uncanny Avengers was at 34, and I believe, is that an uptick for it?
It might be, actually.
I just asked because we had all thought the book was getting better. And yeah, this might be an example of quality increasing, actually increased sales.
Because wasn't it in the 30-something thousand range before?
I thought so, but that could have been New Avengers. I don't know. Looking. God, there's so many Batman comics.
Yeah, I know. And they're not going to stop anytime soon.
A-Force is selling better than Miss Marvel.
Which issue of A-Force?
2.
Huh. That's surprising.
And Miss Marvel has to sell on digital, though. That's the only thing that makes sense.
That's what I'm guessing.
Captain Marvel issue 2 is at 64, so that's holding up better than any Captain Marvel book ever.
yeah, a little delay, but yeah.
I don't know, I like Captain Marvel.
The last issue of Uncanny sold, well, according to the estimates, were 4,000 more than this month's.
Okay, well, maybe the other books are down or something. I'm just trying to find something interesting to mention because these numbers aren't really hugely different from...
No, not particularly.
Archie 18,000.
That's pretty damn good for Archie.
But which again, this is a book that used to average 5,000.
Yeah, an uptick with Mark Waid writing it. And Fiona Staples not drawing it.
I don't know if that has anything to
do. Bait and switch.
Yeah, there's really nothing else interesting on comic sales.
Actually, let's see where Ringside is real quick.
Just a disclaimer, these aren't the final numbers and yada, yada, yada.
Says that was nice enough to come on our show for fucking 2 hours. I don't know.
I think it was an hour, but still.
It's 4,600 on there. I should point out that the last issue was 5,200.
I buy it digitally.
I buy physical, so.
Yeah, so there's at least 2 sales that fucking wouldn't be on this list.
No, I said I buy physical. I don't buy digital.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I always buy physical.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I like the tradition of going to the comic book store.
Oh.
Because I'm not married and not with child, so I have free time and free disposable money to burn.
Well, let's talk about something else.
Okay, let's talk about trade paperback very quickly. We'll do the top 5 and then we'll move on to our next topic. Number 1, Wicked and the Divine Volume 3. Number 2, Star Wars Chewbacca. I imagine
Chewbacca. Seriously?
this is a book that I imagine that was going to sell a lot better in trade for people that didn't want to keep up with the monthlies for Chewbacca. Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. Number 3, Lumberjanes Volume 3. Number 4, Batman Dark Knight Returns. Apparently that's still selling. And rounding out the top 5, we have Batman, Harley, and Ivy Deluxe Edition hardcover. I don't know why there was an uptick in that, but I guess they released that and it sold particularly well at $25. Okay, okay. That's gonna do it for February's comic book sales. Let's move on to our next story, Deathmate. Now you were telling us, Alex, that in the past this was the Image and Valiant crossover, and they're teasing it for the summer of 2016.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think they might just be using the name. At the time, it made sense to do a crossover between Image and Valiant because Image had a shared universe. Like, the Wildcats existed in the same place as Savage Dragon, in the same place as, like, I don't know who else was around, Wetworks, Youngblood, Spawn. They all existed in the same universe. That's not what Image is anymore. In fact, a lot of the characters who were important in Deathmate were, like, Wildcats. I think Team 7, maybe. All the Wildstorm stuff is now owned by DC. And I don't think a crossover with DC... Well, there's also the fact that DC has completely murdered all of those characters and they don't draw anymore. I don't think a crossover with DC would be announced with, like, one little Deathmate is coming as an advertisement. That would be a much bigger deal. So it could just be the name. I mean, they could do a crossover, but I can't. Yeah, I just can't figure out how you do a crossover with Image, given what Image is now.
Because Image now is what Vertigo was.
Well, it's just a bunch of separate, non-connected titles.
Yeah.
So, what Image characters fit with the Valiant universe in, like, a superhero story?
You'd have to think about it, because I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we read a lot of Image books, but we don't read any books that would fit into that.
I think it's just going to wind up being the name, because there's so many ways you can go with it, but there's no one definite way to go with it. They may do it like a multiverse kind of thing, where they'll jump in and out between individual books, and there's some books you can maybe get away with that, but why bother?
And we also had the discussion about, they had already announced a summer crossover with that 4001 thing, the thing where everybody crosses over with Rye.
Yeah, that's our next news story, the 4001 crossover happening at the same time as this one, supposedly.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct, though. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, like, if I know for a fact at the end of your book for Ninjak, it says summer of 2016, so either...
4001 is...
So maybe Deathmate is not in the summer?
One could be at the beginning of summer, one could be at the end of summer.
Yeah, they could do that.
If they make summer it bi-weekly, it could fit. I don't know.
That's Valiant crossovers tend to not be that long. Like, they get 4 issues and they come out pretty quick. They might cross over, they might not.
Well, yeah, because summer's, what, 3 months long? Yeah, like you said, beginning of summer, end of summer.
Deathmate, did you say that Deathmate was the event?
That's what they referred to it as.
Well, then maybe they refer to it as the initial event, that there's this book coming out called Deathmate, and that 4001 is going to be the crossover.
I hate these things.
Yeah, I know. It's all hearsay and rumor. Yeah,
but that would make sense.
Yeah, just to take this with a pinch of salt. This is, allegedly, so we don't know for sure, but this is just us speculating. And I guess to round out this week's news is just, this is funny because we do the show on Saturdays and it comes out Wednesday. But this is going to sound funny the way it comes out. If you haven't already, check out our interview with Christopher Daniels. We'll be doing that on Monday, and it should be up on Tuesday. So by then...
I'm excited to hear it.
Yes, as am I. We're excited to do it, me and Dave.
The guys have been told by everyone to talk about comics. Yes. Because I think everybody has heard Christopher Daniels. I mean, if you've heard an interview with him, you've heard him talk about wrestling. I think that's well-worn territory.
Yeah, there's been a couple of podcasts that, especially the Marvel podcast where he'll talk at length about comic books, but you're right. The vast majority of interviews with Christopher Daniels out there are, in fact, talking about pro wrestling.
Which makes sense because he's a wrestler, and I'm sure you guys are going to ask wrestling questions, and that's absolutely fine. It's his job. But, he has a comic gimmick. If we ever get Cody Rhodes on,
yeah, that's what I was trying to angling for, but I was following him on Twitter, and aside from going to comic book conventions, I don't know that he ever mentions reading comic books.
Oh, because my questions for him would be like, hey, what comics you read, and what does your wife's vagina feel like? that was about it. That's all I wanted to know.
I bet. Great. All right. That's going to do it for this week's news. Let's move on to our next segment, the lightning round. Danger, danger. Okay, this week's lightning round titles include Jupiter's Circle and Black Knight. And as always, for new listeners, the lightning round are titles that we decided not to do a full review. Maybe two of us or one of us did a review of it, so we're going to very quickly do that before we go into the meat of the show of this week's books. So those books are Jupiter's Circle and Black Knight. Do you have any particular point where we start this, Dave? Because I know it's just you and me that read this.
Black Knight.
Okay. Here's the shame of this week's Black Knight. You know, I was kind of back and forth with this book. Do I like it? Do I not? It figures the last issue would have to be the best so far.
Well, they left the door open for a future book if they ever decide to do another.
Oh, and by the way, I was totally right about the Black Sword with Steve Rogers.
The Ebony Blade. I don't know. I guess maybe Dane Whitman just is able to control it better, because the ongoing thing with Dane Whitman and the Ebony Blade is he uses it sparingly. He has like another sword he'll use, and he uses that one sparingly. So he won't succumb to its evil. But basically, off panel on this, the Ebony Blade took over Steve Rogers. And we get some stuff. The Hydra agents that have, apparently a bunch of Hydra agents had been stuck in Weird World for some time. And they basically...
Since World War II.
What's that?
Since World War II, they were stuck in Weird World.
Yeah. And they've created, like, you know, their own little cabal working with some of these guys. They're after the Ebony Blade because, you know, it's going to help them travel between worlds. Apparently that's what it does. So they're trying to get it so they can get back to Earth. Dane Whitman, he defeats Kaden Tarr, who was trying to get the sword from Steve. And basically it ends with them like, well, I guess he's better off staying in Weird World because, you know, New Avalon is, you know, ruled justly and the people like him. And, you know, hey.
He seems to have a grip on the sword, so we'll leave it with him too.
Yeah, which is funny because the whole point of them coming over there was to bring him back, to bring him to jail.
So, well, it's one of those things to where, you know, he clearly had the sword. They tried to take the sword away from him, but clearly they couldn't handle it. So they were like, you know what? If you can handle the sword and if you don't cause that much trouble, we'll let you have the sword and we'll leave you to Weird World.
Yeah. So they kind of left. He's still the ruler of New Avalon, and that's how they left it. He's in Weird World for the time being. Him and, the female, the one who's studying him, is actually there too. She's sticking around.
Okay, cool. And our final lightning round title, Jupiter's Circle. We decided to pick this up again. Did we miss an issue, or did we decide to drop it? And you felt like, well, if we have time, we will very quickly review.
I don't think we've ever dropped it.
It felt like I missed out on something. It could have been just, you know, it's been a while since I read this.
They jump around because the last issue concluded something else.
Yeah, that's the one thing, you know, I was like, I'll give it a try. That last story didn't exactly set my world on fire, but I'll give it another try. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have read this because it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, what's his name? The Sky Fox, he kidnapped Huber Humphrey, the vice president. He's basically, he kidnapped him to, he's trying to end the war in Vietnam. You know, this is taking place in the late 60s.
No more in Vietnam.
Nice.
There's also some weird supervillain criminal who invented something that takes away these people's powers. Eventually, Sky Fox was able to stop him and help out the heroes, but I guess they don't know about the vice president yet. I don't know. It was a whatever issue. It's like, I don't know. I wasn't really high on the story.
Sky Fox is a terrible name.
Should they go with Star Fox instead? And insist that they do a barrel?
And get a fucking little partner there named Slippy, who has toad powers.
Has toad powers.
Then have a badass named Falco, who should be the star, but he's not for some reason. So hyped for that game.
As am I. Since we're both
got my, owners. By the way, got my kid Disney Infinity tonight.
Ooh, I bet that was a mistake.
Dropped like $115.
Yeah, see, told you. That's how they get you.
But my plan is see if he's good all week now, because he was good all week, so I told him I'd get him Disney Infinity. Now if he's good all week, I just got to spend $13 to get him one of those old guys.
Good luck with that, by the way.
Dude, I'm gonna fucking collect them all like Pokemon in real life.
Get all the Marvel ones.
Haven't got any yet. I got Kylo Ren for me, and he picked Ralph from Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope.
Hates comic books.
Well, we got 3.0, so it's all Star Wars stuff.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go into this week's books. Now, what music was that, Alex?
That was Stage 2, Journey to Silius. Journey to Silius is a great game.
Yeah,
hard as balls, but great soundtrack. It was a Terminator game.
Well, it was going to be a Terminator game, and then
they lost the license, and they put it out anyway, and the last boss is a fucking Terminator. They barely changed it. This is in the olden days of games. You'd get away with that shit.
Yes. All right, let's go into this week's books, which include War Story 17, New Romancer 4, Slash and Burn 5, Descender 11, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3, Uncanny Avengers 7, All New Wolverine 6, Amazing Spider-Man 9, Doctor Strange 6, Howard the Duck 5, Mighty Thor 5, Ms. Marvel 5, Spider-Man 2099 Issue 8, Vision 5, Haunted Mansion 1, and to round out this week's books, Ninjak 13.
There were some really good books this week.
Yes.
I know.
And some stuff I didn't expect to be really good.
Yeah, no real bad books in the bunch this week. We got lucky. All right, let's start off with Avatar Press, which has War Story 17, writer Garth Ennis, art by Thomas Erie.
The chick the guy went home with, she still may not be a spy. Although she did fuck the dude.
Good for him.
On first date. Mm-hmm. And we found out she was engaged to a pilot who died. And after their first night together, she decided to get engaged to this guy.
Well, his justification for it was, well, I may die. You never know. So let's get engaged while we still can.
Hey, back in the day, a girl is going to fuck you on the first date. That's a girl you marry. I imagine it was a lot harder to get laid back then. We found out that Hans the Bastard is a real person.
Correct.
Because they came upon his boat, and he's like, fuck it, go after him. But Hans the Bastard is a bastard, and he not only did he shoot up one of the other boats, he killed every single person on it, and they could not believe this.
Yeah, they're, I know. Like, it's like all that's left was the ship. He's like, I guess it's still fully functional, but wow, everybody's gone.
And he's like, no, sink the... They're like, we could tow the ship back. He's like, no, fuck it. Sink the ship, and I'm going to get this bastard. So
awesome.
This War Stories has a more, you know, we've read every issue, and this one has a defined villain as opposed to just, you know, the Nazis.
Yeah, or the horror of war, you know, nobody's really bad.
You know, the Japanese, or we're fighting the Syrians. This one is actually, yes, the war's going on, but this one fucking ship captain is the bad guy, and we're going after him. And there's only one issue left, so I hope they get him in the next issue, because that guy's a prick.
Get him. All right, from there we move on to, technically, let's see if this is a DC book. Yeah, it's a DC book. New Romancer number 4, writer Peter Milligan, art by Brett Parson. What's so funny?
This issue is funny. So, this issue actually dealt with some stuff on Byron's real life.
Correct.
There's one really famous Byron biography, but there are a lot of questions as to how accurate it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this, she mentioned how like he had kind of a weight problem. In that book, the writer mentioned that, you know, he'd do things like he'd take steam baths and he'd wear like 7 coats and exercise.
Oh, that was fine to just sweat it out, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem with this was the guy had fucking club foot. He couldn't really exercise. That's probably why he was kind of fat, because he physically could not exercise. It caused him pain. So, he was probably a fat guy. But Lexi, the character there who's in love with Byron, pointed out that, you know, she just always imagined him as a more good looking, thinner fella, which was funny. Yeah, but in reality, he was kind of fat.
Thank you, Scott Steiner.
It didn't matter because she was in love with his writing and found out while on a date with him that he's not actually that romantic.
No, not like, particularly. I mean, yeah. You know, he knows how to say, you know, nice things, romantic things, but really at the end of the day, he's kind of a pig-headed guy.
Yeah, and they were talking, he was talking about how, cause you know, they were doing the speed dating thing. He's like, you know, women have really changed a lot now. And she's like, yeah, they're independent and can think for themselves and, you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, no, you used to be nicer and feminine.
He didn't want to come out and say it, but yeah.
So she's dealing with the fact that, Byron is not her dream man, but there's a hitch to this because, Byron was captured by, the lab who created him. And the lab is run by a woman who has a psychological disorder where she can't feel emotions normally.
No. In fact, she only felt pleasure from other people's pain. I forget what it was now.
No, it wasn't so much that. It's just she can't, she has no capacity to understand emotion. She's a sociopath, but that's not what they called her. They actually gave it some kind of technical definition.
Oh, I looked that up. That's not a legit thing. I remember when I was reading it, I was looking up that term that she gave, and it's not a real term.
Well, that's okay. It was for purposes of the story and the way the character acts, but she told Byron that to finish her algorithm, and what she did was she had like a robot representation of his daughter that he could talk to, and Byron wasn't, well, he had to sort of flee the country, so he actually wasn't around for his daughter, but he would like to get to know her. She's like, hey, if you want to talk to your daughter again, what you have to do is you have to make that girl fall in love with you, and then you have to break her heart so I can get the data. So Byron goes to accomplish this by appearing in his underwear in front of her and demanding that they rut, which she was going to go for, actually, but one of Casanova's goons came in and shot her with a dart that was, he described it as an anti-love potion. This book is wacky, but I like it.
And why did Byron think she was dead?
Well, he didn't know what she got shot with. He probably doesn't understand guns that well.
Okay.
You know, so the story moves forward. This was a 6-issue mini, right? We found out?
Yes. Sadly, it is.
Well, it'll either end with her ending up with Byron or her realizing he was kind of a dick all along. And, you know.
I think we're going to wind up getting the latter.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of – all these people from the past are working games and trying to involve the present people to help them in various ways. So – it's interesting, but it's only got 2 issues left, so.
Yep. Okay. That's going to do it for our DC section. Let's move on to Image, Descender 11, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Dustin Nguyen.
And I love this issue this week.
I love this book, period.
The robots, the terrorist robots, they worship the harvesters.
Yes.
We found out. And they want to kill all the humans. Which, that's what the... what's her name? Telsa. That's what she kept telling us. That they just want to kill all the people. They're terrorist robots.
Yeah, Telsa's right, Folger.
Yeah, she was. She was. And the doctor was completely wrong, and Tim 21 is very young and naive. Although Tim 22 pushed him down a fucking pit.
Jerk.
To kill him because his dad was like, talking to, yeah, he seems to like Tim 21 more, so he had emotions. To kill him so he could take his rightful place at his father's side.
He's all, you know, I'm sort of jealous that you don't have emotion, but that's the one emotion I do have is jealousy.
Yeah.
And you kind of knew something was up when he brought that up. He's like, why did you want to talk to me aside from everyone, just together, just the two of us? And it's that, yeah, we have the big reveal that he, you know, shoves them and shoots them.
But it shows how human these robots could be, because not all people are the same.
Ooh, there was that line of dialogue when they brought up the fact that, you know, only recently have robots like Tim 21 have been able to act like humans. And the robot presented that.
That was a pretty good scene. He's like, because he was like, oh, you were patterned after humans. Like, no, we were patterned after the ancient robots. Yeah. They had personalities.
Yeah, because what he was saying was he used the data from those super ancient robots to develop Tim. So saying that robots only now have emotions is completely bullshit. They had them, you know, thousands, millions, whatever years ago, because you patterned him after them and said humans weren't smart enough to make something that complex. And the doctor also had my argument in this issue. When they shit on him, like, oh, you didn't even do anything. You just copied all your work. And he was like, listen, motherfucker, I still built the fucking robots.
Yeah, I know. My first to her defense, Tesla was on when they were lost. He's like, you sure you just want blueprints just to find out where we are so you can take credit for it later?
Well, still. He went with my thinking on that. Fuck you. Let's see you build a robot with an old robot.
They also dropped another cliffhanger in this issue. The guy who discovered the ancient robots and the ancient robot itself apparently are still out there and alive.
Well, he said that.
He claims. Yeah.
They said we'd be able to tell if you're lying because we're robots, and they didn't say he was lying.
Yeah. They're still bringing up the thing about the Eternal Server, which he claims doesn't exist, but.
Well, because after they found they basically had one of the harvesters in their basement in like their church, and he pointed out, well, we consider them gods and we worship them, and now we're going to make you all sacrifices to them. So they were getting ready to kill all the people.
Yeah, there were three plots going on at once. The other one was also what's his name? Andy and the Queen Between.
Such a stupid name. They play her off like the dumbest hipster bitch ever. Like, that's what she is. Like, oh, I'm so different. People discriminate against me. Shut up, you're white.
I like the was it Blugger? What's the name of that one robot?
Driller.
Driller.
He's a killer. And he didn't want to hang around with all this talking bullshit. He's
Driller.
A killer.
Can I get a Driller shirt? Can someone make that for me?
There was a cool thing in the, you guys never read the backups, but in the backups, Lemire put this picture up. He said, you know, he grew up on a farm. And when you grow up on a farm, you don't really have a lot to do. So he used to build robots out of like the spare wood.
Ooh, nice.
And he had the robot. So he took a picture of it and he said he sent it to the artist, and the artist pointed out that looks a lot like Driller. And when they showed it, it did. It was made of wood, but it looked a lot like Driller. That was kind of neat. His little wooden robot that he made when he was a kid.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now.
It's pretty cool.
It looks like Voltron because it's got the little thing in the middle, and it looks like it has the wings. That looks like Voltron to me. Yeah.
And he even built like the thing had moving arms and legs.
Yeah, I see it.
Like he built like little hinges on it so they'd move. So he was a handy little fella. I don't think he said how old he was.
This book is going on hiatus, by the way, until June.
Till June! He gives us this big giant cliffhanger, and by the way, teehee, we're coming back in June.
Well, he's gotta release that trade, man.
Image books really like to go on hiatus to sell the trade.
So they say. Alright, next book. Slash and Burn, number 5. Writer, is it C. Spencer?
Sigh.
My mistake. Cy Spencer and Max Dunbar is the artist.
Yeah, we're nearing the end because this is 5 of 6. Roisin, she confronted the character Dak, who was from her childhood, the little Native American kid. She suspects he's the killer. He works at some school, and there's a lot of lighter fluid and stuff like that. And you know, she's kind of putting two and two together. We get some. Some flashbacks to, the past. Cause remember in the last issue that we find out that one of the guys who, works at the orphanage was a child molester?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we come to find out that she decided that she wanted to help out her friend, Jess. So they started a plot against, the guy. They were going to burn down the gazebo because that's where he would do all his, disgusting shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, they come up with an idea. Apparently she tries to lead him on. She's like, oh, you know, I want to be just like Jess and I want to be adopted. I want you to help me out. And she's like, oh, I'll do all this stuff for you. And even, you know, it's like, you know, she was like saying stuff like, oh, I'll do all the stuff that you want me to do. So what appears to have happened is she baked him a cake because apparently that's something that they do. It must be some sort of sick shit that he has. I don't know if he puts his dick in the cake.
Oh God.
And you know, he has the girls do whatever. But anyways, it looks like she poisoned the cake, drug his body under the gazebo, and they burned down the gazebo with him still under the gazebo.
Guys.
But he could have lived.
Yeah. I was about to say, guys, burning child molesters to death never works out well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
This is very Freddy Krueger.
He looks left for dead, but yeah, you never know. Cause they never outright said he was dead.
Wait, in the original movies, Freddy Krueger was not a child molester. He just killed children.
Correct.
Is that right? Yeah. It was in the new one. He was a child molester.
Yeah. As someone who's a Nightmare on Elm Street expert, yes, he never actually molested them.
Yeah. Because that was, you know, they had to make it darker.
Well, it was one of those things where they left it to your imagination. It's like in the first movie.
It was indicated, but never confirmed.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, yes. Either way, that's similar, but who's the killer? I think it's Driller.
I heard he's a killer.
It'll be the next issue we find out because she suspected it was that guy Dak, but then there was another trap set up, I guess, by whoever's the killer. He ends up getting burned alive at the end of this issue. So next issue, 606. All the kids that who were there are dead now, so it's just her. Unless one of those people that died isn't actually one of the kids, and it's one of those other kids, but it's. I can't imagine it being unless there's some under the radar character I'm forgetting. Maybe the guy's alive and seeking revenge.
Could be. Well, we got what, one more issue left? So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it continues after that. It might just be 6 of 6 and it's done.
Who's to say?
Well, what else are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
It's a find the killer thing. Like, you kind of have to end it after you find the killer. Right?
I mean, I don't know what else she'd do with the book after that.
Yeah,
she's just a firefighter detective.
There's another child molester that has to be caught. I don't know. It crosses over with Valiant. Fucking Valiant.
with Archer and Armstrong.
Oh God, she dates Archer.
I'm trying to find the most ill-fitting combination of the two books.
That would probably be it.
They're having a new book, or Quantum of Woody.
Well, Archer got fucked up in his childhood too.
Yeah, there you go.
In a different way.
I don't think it'll happen, but I've heard worst ideas in comic books.
Yeah, there you go. I'm trying.
Alright, let's move on to our Marvel section. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3, writer Mark Guggenheim, art by Jermaine, let's see if I can pronounce this, Pilata?
This book sucked.
Yeah, I know. I was asking Dave, because Dave read it before me, and I was like, I was two pages in, and I was like, oh, this is everything I hate about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. I don't want to read this. And asked Dave if it was any good. He's like, yeah, it's all right, not bad.
Here's the thing. It was sold to us as a crossover to this Pleasant Hill
which
Hill
it
stuff.
Technically was, because they did mention the stuff that was going on in that crossover.
It was, and like Rick Jones was being chased in it, but the problem was it was also part 3 of the storyline they're running.
Yeah, there's something about a quantum drive and some guy who's using Iron Man suit technology.
A young girl, I thought, they said.
Well, they mentioned a young girl, but I think they also mentioned somebody else besides a young girl.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think he just said, like, oh, well, if a young girl could
Yeah, because remember, the young girl is remembering that issue of Iron Man.
Tony Stark's security sucks.
Well, because he didn't hire Ant-Man, or he hired Ant-Man, but he didn't fall through.
Dick.
Or he got sued.
Yeah, that was funny. I wonder if he dropped the lawsuit now that he's a good guy.
He must have.
Maybe the lawsuit never happened.
Well, it was only initiated because he was superior Iron Man?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Since then, he's now normal Tony, so he may have been cool with it. Also, Tony doesn't have any money, so.
Yeah. But anyways, that Quantum Drive apparently is going to do something to heroes, supposedly. So they team up with Coulson's ex-girlfriend, who's some telepath named Lola, who I guess ends up betraying them. And they track down Rick Jones because they mentioned the stuff about the Cosmic Cube in Pleasant Hill. There's a Wolverine cameo where the auction is taking place. Mystique, probably?
I don't know. It's someone.
The over-under on this being Mystique.
We haven't seen her in a while.
No, not in a while. Well, actually, isn't she in the
Uncanny X-Men title we don't read?
Yeah, isn't she in that book?
I'm pretty sure she is, yeah.
Well, I didn't like this book.
Nope.
And I don't like Mystique ever, so it's probably Mystique.
The only reason I was reading this is for the tie-in. And I think there's one more issue that it'll be a tie-in and that'll be it.
I'm not going to read it.
Well, I mean, the next issue, the story for this continues in New Avengers.
I thought this wasn't good, but if it's going to have another tie-in issue, I don't mind reading it. I haven't got to that point yet in this event where I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop reading these tie-ins.
See, I'll read New Avengers again, but I don't want to read this again.
Well, New Avengers is continuing from this issue.
I read this issue, so I'm all right.
Yeah, so it's like you're reading another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. regardless.
No, it's written by somebody else.
But yeah, at the end of the issue, they subdued Rick Jones, and they got him on a helicarrier, and New Avengers pop up.
You know what my problem with this is? I don't ever want to read a comic with Coulson in it.
Nope.
Like, Coulson to me is like the Inhumans to everyone else who reads Marvel Comics. I don't like him. I don't like him showing up in books. I don't, he's a boring character. I don't care if he's in the movies.
Well, what's funny is
he's not even in the movies anymore. He's on that
TV. Like I said, if what I think is going to come to pass, he's going to replace Murray Hill. So that means he'll be in every book.
Well, God. Yeah. Shouldn't be him. It should be Fury.
What, Fury Jr.?
Oh no, he's just Nick Fury now.
Just have Ultimate Fury show up, or just have everyone start calling Nick Fury Jr. just Nick Fury.
Wasn't Nick Fury in a book this week?
Yeah, he was in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was fine in that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the next Avengers standoff crossover, Uncanny Avengers number 7. Writer Jerry Duggan, art by Ryan Stegman.
I like this one more.
Yeah.
Than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They had to do two things in this book. They had to work through the crossover, and they also had to get Cable over, I guess, because he's on the team now.
Yeah, they got the new Inhuman over.
Yeah, but they've been working to do that. They've got Cable trying to train her and how to use her powers because she does stuff with minds, and he does stuff with minds. So he somehow discovered, like, oh, you could tell if people are lying or not. Which, when somebody's lying, she smells strawberries. And when somebody's telling the truth, she smells seaweed.
No, is it the sea?
Which led to a funny thing where, when Maria Hill was talking, she was like, I smell the truth and a lie. And he's like, well, she's a spy.
It's what I would expect from a master spy. Yeah.
Which is pretty good. By the way, is it just me or is Cable leading this team?
Just this issue, it seems.
Yeah, there was even an issue where I think when that one guy of the Wrecking Crew, he's like, it's the Avengers. I mean, the New Mutants, whoever.
Yeah, because they didn't know who they were. Well, no, my thing with that is it's like Cap's really old.
Well, but he's over there at Pleasant Hill, so he's kind of like, I guess, in command at the moment.
Maybe, like, Cable's going to be, like, the field leader.
And, makes sense.
Well, it would make sense given the character. I mean, all he does is fight wars. So,
yeah. So, yeah, it would make sense. Apparently, there's more than one Maria Hill in this issue.
Yeah.
Mystique. I don't know.
You know, no, you know what I think it is? I think it's, the Fixer giving somebody a disguise or some shit.
Life Model Decoy?
Maybe she's a villain with, you know, using disguise tech.
Or the little Cosmic Cube girl is fucking around.
Like, maybe. That could be it too. Just as good excuse as any at this point.
Deadpool is funny.
Light slip. Actually, you know what? That actually isn't light slip because he hasn't been funny in a while.
Yeah, I like him in this book. I'm liking this book more and more.
With the Caddyshack stuff? Well, it's the same writer that does the Deadpool book.
Well, yeah, but I just mean the book, you know, when it first started, we were like, oh God, this is shit. And then it got a little better and a little better and a little better. And now I actually like it. I look forward to reading it. So, you know, good sign for a book.
All right. Next book. All New Wolverine number 6. Writer Tom Taylor, art by David Lopez.
I absolutely love this issue.
Yeah. And I love that the little girl is going to continue to be in Wolverine sidekick.
Yeah. This was the first, cause I've liked this book, but I went to read this first because, you know, I do my, well, I read the books I don't really want to read early and then the other ones later. But I fucking love this issue. They found Alchemex's secret base and there was a lot of fighting in this. And they showed the differences between the various Wolverines.
Mm-hmm.
Like the blonde Wolverine, she had the young Wolverine with her with the big giant black dude who was like the head of Alchemex's evil security team. And she, like, you know, they knock him down and normal Wolverine kept reminding him, okay, don't kill anyone. You're shooting knees and shoulders and just nothing that kills him because we're not killing here. And she's like, yeah, okay, well, I got him. So they chase the guy down the hallway. With the little girl Wolverine, and she has a gun, and she just tells the girl to leave.
Ooh.
And she's like, why? And she's like, because you don't need to see this, and she leaves, and then they do the bang-bang sound effect. So she killed her, and then because she killed her, she had to run away. This will play in later. She had to run away because Wolverine didn't want her to do it, but they showed the little girl clone Wolverine was different. Because, she had, the guy who was heading the project and she could have killed him and she wanted to kill him, but she didn't kill him. She let him go.
Good for her.
Yeah. So she ended up leaving with Wolverine at the end of this, but then we find the Wolverine. She is working for, Gamora, who is, okay. So I actually know a little bit about this character. She's,
oh, good. Cause I was about to ask.
She's like, X-20 or, she's this Wolverine's Sabretooth. she was like her handler, but her powers are like in direct opposition to Wolverine's. Like, you know, Wolverine has the claws. She has indestructible skin.
Ooh.
It's that kind of thing. So she's the one person Wolverine could never beat.
Got it.
And now she has a little Wolverine clone.
Interesting.
And I don't know if she's coming after Wolverine or not, but she would be like Wolverine's arch nemesis. So.
Okay, cool enough. So at least that's where they seem to be going with that Wolverine in this book.
Well, we're not sure because she wasn't really presented as a bad guy.
It wasn't presented as it was a good thing though.
No, but she's the one who gave them the information of where it was and gave them the ability to kill the Alchemex people who did this. To them.
Considering I knew nothing about Kimura, my indicator after reading this was, she's betraying Wolverine.
Well, she is a baddie, but, you know, whatever. It was a great issue though.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book. Amazing Spider-Man number 9, writer Dan Slott, art by Giuseppe Camocoil.
I like this a lot. Fuck you.
This was a fun issue.
Yeah, we liked it. Read your Facebook chat, dude.
Oh, okay. Nah, I don't read that shit. I was working all day.
The book focuses back on the hunt for Scorpio. If you remember one of the previous issues, Scorpio took control of the SHIELD satellites during the book's first start.
Yeah, and he apparently still had control of them.
Yeah, he sacrifices Zodiac buddies in order to evade capture by Spider-Man. So, Peter Parker, he takes Nick Fury into space with him, and he intends to recapture the satellites manually. Which means the two must take off into the, wait for it, Arachno Rocket.
Oh god! And on the way to the Arachno Rocket, or when he was flying in space, he was singing Bowie.
Well, it wasn't, no, it was the music he was playing. He had a set of music specifically for space travel, and Fury kept vetoing all his picks until he played some Bowie. Yeah, he vetoed Rocket Man. But then he's like, plays the Bowie. He's like, yeah, this will work.
Yeah, that's cool. So, I don't know why he needed Nick Fury to tag along, but whatever.
Well, he was going to talk to
Fury's shield.
Yeah, he was going to talk to Peter Parker, and I guess he just got tagged along.
Yeah, because he was already there to meet with Parker. And
okay, so he's just conveniently there.
Mm-hmm.
He also needed shield clearance to get into space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that said, it was a fun little issue. They were trying to manually rewire those satellites, then they get attacked by other satellites via Scorpio. Yeah,
because Scorpio had control of all the satellites, so he just starts sending satellites at the satellite to kill Spider-Man. And Fury's like shooting them down, but then there was one gigantic satellite, and Spider-Man's like, well, shoot it. And he goes, I got a little blaster here. That thing's fucking gigantic. It's not going to do anything. So he told Fury to go do a spacewalk over to the International Space Station, and then Spider-Man's like, I got to go back to Earth, though. Yeah, so Spider-Man.
Yeah, he uses, uses the Arachno to destroy that satellite.
Yeah, he sent the Arachno rocket up to destroy it, which pissed Nick Fury off. But he told him, yeah, you could just go spacewalk over to the space station. He's like, well, where are you going? He goes, I'm going back to Earth. So he.
he sure is at Earth.
This was such ridiculous comic book science. Spider-Man, because his spacesuit and then his normal suit are so powerful, he is able to actually make re-entry through Earth's atmosphere. But while he's doing it, he's shooting off, like, protective web,
foam shit,
and making parachutes and stuff, but they're all burning up. So eventually his last hurrah is like a big, he makes like a cocoon of web.
Correct. Yeah. That's an accurate representation.
Which allows him to land on the ground from outer space, and he's all right. Interesting thing during this, he calls Anna Maria, and she's just getting done kissing some other scientist who brought her cakes or whatever, and Doc Ock Robot sees this as he's coming in to ask her if she wants a drink.
Tasty beverage?
Yeah, and he's very, very pissed off that she has done this. Horribly, horribly pissed off, and he's probably going to kill that guy so we could reestablish Doc Ock as a villain in his robot body.
I think it's a little too quick, and I don't know if we're going to get that right off the bat.
Well, now he's a villain due to love.
Jealousy?
Mm-hmm.
And having a robot body? Which I have to imagine it shouldn't be that hard to reconstitute and make himself a new body.
If you notice, this whole robot thing, he hasn't said anything about killing Peter Parker.
No, because this is Doc Ock with his memories post Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's only interested in Anna Maria and getting her back, but he's fucking 1950s robot, so that ain't gonna happen. But we'll see. They keep teasing that storyline. Oh, and Scorpio is gonna kill Spider-Man.
Yeah, apparently, one of his guys, the Gemini, they're able to see into the future and into the past, but apparently there's like a brief block between, midnight where Peter had changed plans. But apparently, Scorpio says, well, I saw some other thing in, a day later and you're done for or something, so.
Well, he's about to hit a weakened Spider-Man who's just made re-entry through the atmosphere with his big laser trident thing.
Yeah. No, but this was a fun issue.
Good read.
It was less Parker trying to be Tony Stark, more Parker being Parker.
Although there was that one part where he was sort of talking to himself like Deadpool.
I thought what was interesting about this is, cause you know, they got Peter Parker doing all this weird shit where like he's going into outer space and stuff, but he's still Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like the character is still the same. It's just he's doing these things that the character normally wouldn't do.
Well,
so.
They stressed in the Spider-Man, the Bendis one, the one with Miles, that, you know, Peter's supposed to be globetrotting, going in space, while Miles is stuck in New York doing the usual Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, but he hasn't changed the character. The character is still Peter Parker. So that's good.
Yes, very good. Alright, let's move on to our next book, Doctor Strange number 6, writer Jason Aaron, art by Chris Bacalio.
This is another good book.
Yes.
Kind of depressing.
Yeah, and it leads directly into the little crossover that they're doing.
Well, because magic has been defeated.
Yes, there is no magic in the 6 months.
And it's all gone, and in some amazingly clever art, we found out there's no Harry Potter anymore.
That's my favorite part.
There's no, what I think might have been Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah. Me and Dave were speculating because I was like, well, it's not quite a one-to-one comparison, but I'm like, this seems like it's Winnie the Pooh. It seems like Christopher Robbins.
Yeah. Basically what they did was they showed how the loss of magic impacted or would impact all these things. And they show, like, there's a little piece of art about, like, they're like, oh, flying carpets don't work anymore. And then they basically showed Jasmine and Aladdin falling off the flying carpet. they showed a little kid who they called an orphan. In his tiny little room under the stairs, holding a wand that wasn't gonna do anything. He had a Band-Aid where the scar would have been because, aww, you know, trademarked.
Who was the chick? Is that someone that they established earlier?
Well, they said she was in the past.
They were
saying magic disappeared forever, so they were showing different time periods.
Oh, so retroactively. Okay, got it.
Yeah, so there's just never going to be any magic. The most awesome part of this issue was Doctor Strange, when he's trying to fight this guy, he takes, he sucks all the bad emotions from people.
Everyone's despair.
This was like the spear bomb in Dragon Ball.
Yeah. And he hits the guy with it, and the guy basically laughs it off, and he's like, you're trying to attack me with despair? He's like, magic fucking murdered my entire family and ripped them apart in front of me. I was made out of despair, bitch. And then he punches him.
Or they were sacrificed to some magic force, so.
Yeah, that's why he hates magic, because his parents were sacrificed to a god who then destroyed his planet. So he's not a fan of magic. And it is a technology versus magic thing. That is what they're going with. They're all robots, so we already knew that, but they fully confirm that in this issue.
Okay.
And Doctor Strange is beaten.
Yeah, we got The Last Days of Magic number 1 and Doctor Strange number 7.
Oh, by the way, in Uncanny, they had a part with Brother Voodoo, mm-hmm, where they mentioned to him that some of his spells weren't working anymore. So it wasn't tying into this, but they did mention it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been dropping hits. I imagine Hercules will be something different, because I know that the gods in that one are, like, technology-based. Mm-hmm. So what's taking over?
Well, yeah, that one's more they have new gods. And
yeah. And the new gods are technology.
So what books are crossing over with this again? Hercules and Scarlet Witch?
Scarlet Witch for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't say at the end of this book. All it says is Doctor Strange Last Days and Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. But they did show Scarlet Witch in this book. And I don't know. I read somewhere that it was going to be a crossover with him.
They hit pretty much every magic character in Marvel. When they were doing the, cause they had like the robots talking and they're like, target this person. Yeah. And
they showed magic. They showed, some characters I never even heard of.
But they're probably characters. I just remember they showed magic. They showed Brother Voodoo. They showed Scarlet Witch. They showed, Damien Hellstrom. They didn't show Elsa Bloodstone, but they did show a redheaded chick walking down the street, and I thought that was gonna be her. But no, they hit most of the big some, magic users.
Some people called Professor Zoo and Mahatma Doom.
Yeah, I have great. No idea who they were, but they're probably existing characters.
Here's my question, and this will probably transition to our next book. How is this going to affect Thor and Asgard?
They mentioned that Thor, I don't remember what they said, but they did mention Thor. I don't think Thor is going to be involved in this. Mm-hmm. First of all, Thor isn't technically magic. Depending on which origin you go with. I mean, Odin's not really a god. So, but in this, they kind of did, you know, since they mentioned Thor, they made it about magic. But Thor is so involved in that War of the Realms storyline that I don't think trying to slam it into Doctor Strange's storyline when this storyline has been going on for like 4 years is really going to work. And they could do something as simple as, oh, well, they hadn't got around to Asgard yet. Well,
to be fair, it's the same writer, so.
Yeah, I know, but he could, I'm just saying, he could say like, well, they never went to Asgard. They were on Earth.
Yeah, they got to go to the realm, I think, and actually do this.
Yeah, because Asgard is technically separate from Earth. It's, you know, it's a different realm. Earth is Midgar. So he would have to go there and then, you know, kill all the Olympians or the Olympians, the Asgardians, and destroy all their magic shit to have any effect on them. So, yeah, there's a way to get around this.
Speaking of realms, this is going to go into our review of Mighty Thor number 5, writer Jason Aaron, art by Russell Daterman. They mentioned the 10 realms again. Is this a Secret Wars thing?
No, there's 10 realms, because remember, Angela?
Heaven.
Heaven.
Oh, okay, I got it confused. I thought, okay, you're right. It was 9 and it went to 10. I thought it was 10 and it went to 11. My mistake.
No. Okay. 9 realms went to 10. Well, the Odin-Thor fight didn't go how I thought, because Thor was kind of beating the shit out of Odin.
Yes.
I mean, he was shooting the big blast at her, and he hurt her, but...
And also, Odin was never under any control that we speculated.
Yeah. And they... Now, how did you read this? Because I read... Okay, so there's a civil war going on in Asgard.
Yes.
And Loki is there with Freya.
Yes.
And we find out he was basically her double agent, but then he stabs her.
I think he's a killer. He stabbed her to
end the war.
Yes.
Okay, that's how I read it.
Okay. I didn't get that. I didn't get any of that. So okay, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Because it made no sense that Loki was acting good, and also after he stabbed her, he didn't look happy about it. But they also pointed out the blade was poisoned. She's not dead, but. Loki is either really shit with poisons or he did this on purpose. I don't think he wanted to kill her. He just wanted to incapacitate her enough so that it would shock the people into no longer fighting. So that, you know, Asgard wouldn't tear itself apart.
Yes.
And Odin, he stuck her into Odin's sleep, so she'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll get better. And Loki would have known that could happen. So... I don't know if she planned this with him.
It's possible she could have.
They sort of indicated she didn't, but I think because they haven't really said whether or not Loki's a good guy or a bad guy in the new continuity, but this kind of led you to think he's a good guy, but now he's, you know, fucking at the top of the bad guy list for Asgard, but that's good because it gives him a focus, and since he's on... Since he's on Malekith's council, it would then put Asgard against them. Whereas previously they hadn't really been involved in this because they've been too involved with their own shit. It's kind of a weird issue because it dealt so much with Freya and Loki.
There are a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, the Odin-Thor fight was really secondary, like, they were showing Malekith after his wedding to the High Elf Queen. He just threw her into prison immediately after marrying her.
I think he just wanted the title of king, and then once he was the king, he immediately threw her in jail.
Well, that was clear. He had no other reason to marry her. And he used mind control to marry her, so.
Yes, speaking of a lot of moving parts, we had the end of this issue where they showed the ultimate Thor hammer again, and then from there we see Odin's son is captured.
Yeah, so Ultimate Thor is apparently gone, but Odinson, I guess, had the Ultimate Thor hammer, but he's captured, so. But we had been saying, where's Odinson? Well, he's captured.
Now I'm wondering where Ultimate Thor is, or is he just
gone? I
don't
care, Ultimate Thor sucks. His hammer's there, but he's, I don't know, he's, you know what he's doing right now, Ultimate Thor?
What?
He's fucking shutting down Trump rallies for Bernie Sanders.
I'm not getting it.
He was a big fucking hippie, dude.
Oh, okay.
That was his character.
Ooh, okay. Well, remember, he threw the hammer at the end of Secret War, so it just landed somewhere. So I don't know who these people are.
Who are these people?
Why the fuck would, well, they would, I was going to say, why wouldn't they move the hammer? Well, because they couldn't move the hammer.
Because they're unworthy, you fool.
Yeah, well, Thor's not unworthy for that hammer. We're never going to get a resolution to that, by the way.
No. No, we're not.
Secret Wars, it never happened. Nick Fury was never on the moon.
Actually, you know, since we're using Twitter now, we should actually ask Jason Aaron what
Actually, I just thought of something.
What?
They mentioned in that Pleasant Hill book that Bucky was in outer space doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So if Bucky was in outer space doing that stuff, then that means Nick Fury in canon was doing that stuff, which means that storyline happened and Nick Fury would still be on the moon. Nah.
That's just as good a theory as any.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Continuity.
But then again, they could just Secret War it away.
Whatever.
Next book, Howard the Duck number 5, writer Chip Zdarsky, art by Joe Quinnos.
He's no longer the nexus of all realities.
Aww. He still has access to the nexus.
Which he used, he thought, to go back to the duck world, finally. But he ended up outside Beverly's house, his old woman. So yeah. that tease is going to, well, that was the tease at the end of the issue.
And also in this too, they liberated the collector's world.
Yeah, they let everyone go, and they all, Howard explained, if you think about where you want to go and you walk into me, you'll be there. So they all thought about where they wanted to go and presumably went back to their home planets. Linda and Shocket, they didn't say where they went.
No, they didn't. They said, we've been running for so long, we didn't know what to do once we actually...
They went back to get a ship, and they're going to do whatever from there.
Oh, okay. Did they go back in time? Did they say that or no?
No.
Okay, so they could pop back in.
There are a bunch of great scenes in this book. My favorite one, the opening one, was with Thing. He's like, this is a revolting development, ain't it? And then Rocket immediately fires back. Jeez. He's like, you just barely joined the team and already sick of your catchphrases.
He's like, what else am I going to call a development as revolting as this?
I put up a panel I liked a lot on Facebook.
Yeah, and I put that on Twitter as well.
Where Thing made fun of her. The girl who was hanging out with Howard, she's like, well, what can I do? Because they didn't know she had superpowers. It's like, I don't know, you can make us awesome coffee and start a warehouse rave or something, just based on the way she looked.
But then she had powers, and Thing is like, this is why people dress up in the crazy outfit, so we know that they're superheroes.
Yeah.
So I can direct the people, hey, you got superpowers, go do something.
Yeah, because she was just wearing clothes he didn't know.
He also said, I was like, I know I'm the last person who should be judging somebody by a cover, but...
Yeah, that was good. This is a funny book.
My favorite, at the introduction of this book, they had the writer Chip Zdarsky, and they had Stanley Presents, but then they also included Obama.
Yeah, they gave President Obama credit. That was good.
So, by the way, Chip Zdarsky, he liked your...
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
Yeah, the one that Bruno put up.
So this is an instance where I can actually say, thank you, Obama, this is a great book.
Fat Man has been using Twitter a lot more.
Oh, yeah, I should have done this during the Amazing Spider-Man review. If you haven't already, you can follow us at twitter.com/acomicpodcast. Speaking of the dance slot, he retweeted something that I tagged him in, and he decided to retweet it, and it freaking went fire. I think we were at what point? Where are we at now, Dave? Are we at like
116 followers.
No, we're 116 followers, but how many retweets and how many likes did we get?
We got, out of that one, we got,
nearly 600, right?
Hold up. We have 573 retweets, 561 likes.
Wow.
That man's taking a class in like social media, something or other. So he jumped back on Twitter and is working to pimp up our Twitter numbers.
Yes,
I don't use Twitter, so.
We're following you, so.
I don't know anything about it. I found out I had a couple followers. I still have an egg. Like, I don't know nothing about Twitter.
Okay. Let's talk about someone who probably knows a little thing about Twitter too. Miss Marvel number 5, writer G. Willow Wilson, art by Nico Leon.
Easy peasy. What happened was because Kamala, we found out, because she was infected by that toxin, the hydrotoxin in the previous issue, it messed up the clones, and now the clones are just multiplying like mad. And there was a full army of Kamala clones running around the school, and she asked Bruno to lock them in a closet. But they kept duplicating and then, you know, going various places and ruining things. But the funniest side joke, because one of them was going easy peasy while lighting itself on fire. And the other one went to her, because the parents of the girl her brother's gonna marry were meeting with Kamala's parents.
I got confused in the last issue. I was under the impression that she was like from India or something. I didn't know she was a black chick.
She's not. She's a black chick who decided to become a Muslim, but her family are, they're Christians of some type.
Except the brother
who is a anarcho-atheist.
He's so edgy.
Which I have friends who are adults who go that way.
why doesn't that surprise me?
But they keep saying it's, well, you know, I'm a libertarian, so I fall in with the anarchists sometimes. Oh, that's not edgy. That's just sensible. No, but they said he's just going through a phase. But Kamala clone shows up and says her
blessed happy, wedding or something like that. Yes.
Blessed wedding thing. But Bruno pointed out, oh my God, it didn't drink, did it? Because apparently on the inside, they have nothing to process like food. They don't breathe. They don't drink. They don't eat. So she apparently drank the tea and then sort of fell apart in front of all of them. Kamala shows up and explains, oh, it was a science project that went wrong. If you see any more of me, just ignore them. But there's like Kamala's attacking this. They're not really attacking, but there are Kamala's filling the school. And like you see the big Loki bots who are like picking them up and just holding them. And then there's a bunch of them marching downtown.
And then they all merge together like a Voltron to a giant Kamala.
Well, there's at least, we don't know if they all merge together. I think maybe one of them just gets Kamala's powers.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's what I assume, because she can embiggen.
And they explain how, you know, the only way that would have happened with them multiplying, has she been exposed to some toxin.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, when I was fighting Hydra, I was exposed to some toxins, but I was in such a hurry, I didn't even bother to take a shower or anything. And because you cloned me when I had that toxins, it affected the clones.
Yeah, I already said that, dude.
Oh, my mistake, sorry.
Yeah, at the start of it, fucker.
My mistake.
You're acting like me now.
Well, they mentioned that probably the only way they're gonna fix this is if they summon Loki.
Yeah, that's what I was pulling up when you were doing that, that's why.
And she said, please make that a last resort. Like, if we get, maybe she could just dump them all in a river.
No, they're very clearly gonna bring up Loki. Why would they build this up and then not deliver?
Well, they could, but, I mean, still, you could just get them all to jump in a river, and then they'll probably swallow some water.
To me, it was set up like the sitcom thing. You're not getting me an address. You're not getting me an address. Cut to him an address.
Easy peasy.
I like the way they bring up how to summon Loki. It's if you light a candle at midnight, turn around 3 times and fart, he appears.
That was what Bruno said. That's what he heard.
He said it was his, Hold up,
Zoe's friend, Jacob's boyfriend, Raven says.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mike is also a genius.
Yes, very much so.
Although of like vague abilities, like she's just an all around genius.
Mm-hmm. No, but then he says no, she's actually smart or something.
Yeah, he said he's smarter than her, and he's like a, you know, tech genius. So
who's great at comic book science?
That's good to know.
Okay.
His 3D printer in the Jersey City school.
Because that's how 3D printers work, right?
They work just like that. They can make clones of people, for fuck's sake. It's okay, comic book.
Yes, comic books. This is a story where someone has inhuman powers. Go ahead.
The one thing we forgot to mention was Kamala realized she may not, that she's coming to the conclusion she cannot be Miss Marvel 100% of the time and still live her life. So, that's an important character moment for her.
I guess.
Let's do.
All right, next book, Spider-Man 2099, issue 8, writer Peter David, art by Will Silney.
Spider-Man 2099 was fucking pissed in this issue.
Well, he's been pissed for a while, dude.
But
he found out that he'd been lied to this whole time about his pregnant girlfriend being dead.
Yeah, so he went and he fucked up her guard that her mom put in place. Something's going on with her mom.
No, well, the thing is, it had been mentioned in, like, issue 3's epilogue. Her mother was a selfish gold digger who married her father to secure herself financially. And she set up her daughter with someone she hoped would keep her financially secure via an arranged marriage. And she was pissed off when she went against her wishes to be with Miguel.
Oh, okay.
So that's why she was able to hire Man Mountain Marco to guard her.
Who Spider-Man fought until he went into the nursery and picked up two babies.
Oh, that was messed up.
And told him, you have to let me go or these babies get it, basically. So, of course, Spider-Man's not going to fuck with that. He's like, all right, you can go. But he'd already put in a call to Peter Parker, who came in and took the girl.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Peter Parker, wasn't he aware that she wasn't actually dead?
No, we had surmised that he knew she wasn't dead because he showed absolutely no concern over the fact that she had died, and we thought that was really weird. That still is really weird, but, you know, he basically explained away in this issue, like, dude, in my life, you know how many fucking people die and come back, it's fine.
But yeah, they're teasing the next issue he's going to confront the mom, so.
Yeah, with the way he's acting, he might fuck the mom up. Miguel's going crazy.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen when you think you lose the love of your life and as well as your future child.
Yeah.
There was a funny little line in this book that I absolutely love. They brought up the fact that, you know, love and whatnot, and he's like, you know, that in that first Thor movie with Lois Lane, I'm like,
yeah, that was weird. And I'm like, when he wrote that, did he write Superman? And they changed it?
Well, no, I think that's the joke. He's in the future. You know, he's from the future. That movie probably still exists in his world, but he confused Superman for Thor.
Okay.
It could be one of those things to where, you know, that's what the idea they're trying to get across, but because they can't say Superman, they say Thor. And since I don't think DC owns the rights to Lois Lane, I don't see how you can own the rights to a name like that. So.
Well, you're allowed to say Superman.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. You could say it.
Okay.
Cause it's, you know, it's a known character.
Yeah. Well, he did follow up by saying, I should look into that. Like maybe he wasn't entirely sure.
Yeah. That was a joke. He's from the future. He wasn't entirely sure about this old movie that, you know, exists 100 years later in his future. And he's got to make sure he's got his reference right.
Okay. So, thanks, Dave. Know your stuff. All right, let's move on to our next book. Vision number 5, writer Tom King, art by Gabriel Hernandez Walta.
I'm waiting for Alex to, have an orgasm.
This book is so good.
Yeah, late slip, dude.
And they did something different in this. They did a lot of different stuff in this because it opened up with an extended, Shakespeare quote.
Yep, Merchant of Venice.
Yeah, Merchant of Venice, the Jew speech.
Which I had to explain to...
It explains in the book that they're reading A Merchant of Venice, you idiot.
No, but when you were reading, you're like, oh, what is this? I'm like, that's Merchant of Venice, dude.
It's actually incredibly famous, Batman.
Yeah, but they mention it in the book, too.
But if you read it, it does relate to what's going on.
And look, to be honest, I was asking you for quotes because you wanted me to post something about Vision. So I was like, was there anything worthwhile in this book?
And he's like, well,
you clawed.
He called you a clawed.
That's what Ghetto calls people in New Japan. He calls people clawed.
Oh, nice.
In Japanese?
Yes.
Do you awesome. Happen to know the Japanese word for clawed?
No, but Chris Charlton, who translates the
promo. How do you know he's just not having fun and decides to translate like that?
Maybe he is. I don't know. He's a British guy, so.
I'm going to go down there to Texas and give you a headbutt.
But in this, Mrs. Vision completely lost her shit. She's pretty much broken over all of this. Vision came home and her speech was all fucked up. She kept repeating things. Like, she'd say something, and at first I actually thought it was an error in the printing, but then it continued on for a couple pages, so I realized there was a problem. Vision comes home and then the cops show up to talk to him about the dead kid. And the important takeaway from this was, you know, Vision basically cleared himself and then he's going to leave. But the guy had asked him like, hey, you said you were at home with your kids. He's like, was the entire family there? His wife wasn't there, but he said, yes, they were all there.
Yeah, he
so
lied.
Vision lied.
Yes.
To a cop.
And he justified this all while he was talking to the cop. He was going over his mind all the things that he'd done with the Avengers. All the times he fought Ultron, Kang.
Yeah, which he said in all his memories, he has, I think it was a number like 36 that were the strongest.
I think the 37.
Yeah, and they actually showed all of them. And they had, you know, little, well, they didn't show all of them. They showed a lot of them. And it would be like, you know, Vision talking to the guy answering his questions, but then they'd show an old piece of art. The humor in this was like 10 of them were Ultron, and he'd just say Ultron again, and then a couple things that happened, and then Ultron again. That was kind of funny, but you feel really bad for the mom because she's just completely lost her shit. Like, she's talking about, she's repetitively saying, like, I can't fix it. And what she's talking about is their normal life.
Exactly.
She's tried, and everything she's tried has made it worse and worse and worse. And since she's a robot and she's not that developed, but she still has emotions, I think what he's trying to get across is that she can't deal with this. She cannot process the continued failure and how everything she's doing is ruining her family's life. But, you know, her only job is to be a robot wife, and she's failing at it, and she can't deal. Vision is not understanding this, or he's not willing to understand it. I'm not sure.
Like, he's purposely ignoring it. He's trying to tell himself everything is fine.
Like she at one point when she's sitting with the kids, she fucking smashed the table in half.
Yeah, she said everything's normal, and she broke the table with a fist.
Yeah, and when Vision sees it, he's like, oh, the table's broken. Are you coming to bed?
Yeah, because he has his own stuff to deal with. And she's like, you know what? Let's just go to bed and deal with it in the morning.
Yeah, and but there's clearly something wrong with her because she's doing that repeating thing. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll see you later. And he just leaves her there.
Yeah, she's saying to herself, I don't know how to fix.
Yeah, Vision is a horrible husband.
Well, it's also, you know, he's still kind of learning his emotion, but also at the same time, he doesn't know how to deal with it. Like, he doesn't have his emotions.
I'm much more creeped out by Vision's reaction to this than I am the wife's.
Because the wife is responding with normal emotions like a normal human being?
Yeah, it's just, it comes off a little off because she's a robot. But other than that, what she's feeling makes 100% sense. What Vision is doing makes absolutely no sense in a human context. When your wife is like that, you're not just fucking ignoring it. Like, that's weird. But, you know, that's the book.
Yeah, that's the premise of this book, so.
So, it, I'm gonna be really sad when this book ends because it's so fucking good.
The kid's dad is still, looks up here. He appears to be in a coma.
He's alive.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, she took him and she fucking slammed him against a wall hard. I guess that we just assumed he was dead, but that wouldn't necessarily kill him. So if he wakes up.
Yeah.
And the thing they did was with having Vision lie is you now have to question what would Vision do to protect his family? Like, is this guy going to get killed if he talks?
Yeah. And then you also have to keep in mind, he's still in the Avengers books, and there's no plans to take him off that anytime soon. So you got to wonder if this is going to fit into a nice package, and they're just going to continue with whatever Mark Waid's doing.
This is issue 5. This thing ends issue 12. So if it's a monthly, they got 7 months before they can take him off on New York different.
But I'm saying there's still going to be repercussions, or I'm curious if there's going to be any. Is the wife going to go away? Are the kids going to go away?
I really hope this book doesn't tie into anything. I like what it's doing, and I like that it's self-contained, and I understand the desire to deal with this stuff in another book, but
I'm just saying there's got to be, I don't know if the consequences of this book are going to be lasting, because you still have Vision in a continuing book, whereas if you didn't have him, you could maybe get away with this.
Like I said, this thing ends in 7 issues at 7 months. He may not be in a continuing book anywhere else.
But I'm saying, where does this leave his family?
Well, he might. I mean, I always said I thought this book was going to end with Vision just deactivating his entire family.
Could be.
Which would be a hint at a Vision heel turn.
But we already had that, a false positive. Yeah, I don't think we're going to go.
Yeah, but that wasn't really Vision.
We have 7 months for it to happen.
But just 7 issues.
I know, I'm just trying to predict how it ends.
No, not really 7 months, dude. It's 7 issues, so it's not like we can just...
I'll tell you this much. Given the way this book is written and the way it's going, it ain't ending well. This book is not going to have a happy ending. I guarantee it's not.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Okay, let's go into a book who has, I guess, somewhat slightly more upbeat tempo. Haunted Mansion number 1, Joshua Williamson, art by George Colio.
I thought this was really cute. Disney, Pirates of the Caribbean is the best example where they take one of their rides and then they craft a story around.
Yeah, that was your justification for us reading this.
I said Pirates of the Caribbean was good.
So you sort of twisted my arm, but I'm like, I've heard a couple of good things about it, and the art's really good, so I was like, I'll check it out.
This is a horror story for, what'd you say, like 12-year-olds?
I wouldn't even say horror, it was a story written for 12, it's something for, it's still sort of simple enough, simple enough that a kid can follow, but it's a little bit more sophisticated, so where, maybe 9 or 10-year-olds shouldn't be reading this.
It was a spooky story.
It wasn't scary, it was spooky. That's the correct term.
There's this kid, and he's really close to his grandfather, who's like a world explorer. Mm-hmm. And the grandfather, talked about all these places he go, and there's this haunted mansion in the neighborhood. And they talk to people in the town, and everybody has a, different reason of why it's haunted, but all the stories involve someone dying. Mm-hmm. We later find out all these stories are true because of the makeup of the mansion. But the grandfather tells him, he's like, later on we're gonna explore this mansion. You and me are gonna go. Well, grandfather goes to, I believe they actually stated, the Matterhorn. not the ride, but the mountain, and he dies in an avalanche.
Correct.
Well, the kid is super bummed out about this, and he's not a popular kid. He's kind of weird. He doesn't have any friends at school. And they even mentioned they had to write a paper on their, like a person they most admired. And he wrote it about his dead grandpa. And then they sent him to like the school counselor.
Cause they thought it was, not healthy for someone to be writing.
Yeah. You shouldn't be writing about your dead grandfather, which fuck them. The kid's not like super depressed or anything.
And the kid brings up in this stuff, like, everybody will ignore me. Like, my parents never really made time for me, and they never really talked to me. And the only one that was ever nice to me and made time for me was my grandpa.
Yeah, and his parents both work, and they showed, like, he was home, and the mom had left a note, like, working late, have your dad order a pizza, and the dad left a note, working late, have your mom order a pizza. So his parents aren't around, but he decides, you know what? Grandpa was gonna go into the mansion with me. I'm gonna do the brave thing. I'm gonna go in without him because a ghost appears to him and says, your grandfather needs you. He's in the mansion. So he goes to the mansion and he meets up with the, well, first he's walking through and you see all the creepy stuff and it's all very reminiscent of The Ride.
Yes.
I don't think they actually did the entranceway moving up and down. He said,
but they quoted a lot of it.
Yeah, they did quote a lot of the ride. So I mean, I guess if you've never been to Disneyland, you never been on this ride, you wouldn't get that stuff, but it still works as a story. The good ghost is there and explains to him that there's a pirate ghost there.
Pirate ghost.
Yeah.
Who, I couldn't help myself.
who wants all of the ghosts in the house to start haunting people?
Correct. Am I imagining this, or they brought up the fact that they want them to murder people?
Yes. Murder people so that there are more ghosts in the house. Hmm. Anybody who dies in the house, then lives in that house as a ghost. So she wants him to stop this and said, you're the only one who can stop it. Didn't entirely explain why that is. I mean, there was something about your grandfather is here, and because you have a personal connection with him, a strong personal connection, that's why I was able to contact you, and that's why you're able to deal with this. So the kid is now in the mansion, and all the bad ghosts are out to get him, but he's dedicated to freeing his grandfather because his grandfather, being an explorer, would not want to be trapped in a mansion for eternity.
Probably not. I don't think anybody wants that, to be honest.
Yeah. So the kid is going out, and Grim Reaper-looking guy appeared. We didn't get to see him, but he is planning on killing the kid. So, yeah, I guess it's not really for kids, since the plot of this is a kid trying to save his dead grandfather.
I'm thinking maybe like a young teenager, maybe someone in middle school.
Yeah, yeah. But the art was good, and the writing was good, and it's a clever way to go about this story. So I'm going to continue reading this. I mean, it's not going to be continuing. It has to be a mini series.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be like 6 issues, why not?
Yeah, because how many times what are they just going to keep going back in the fucking mansion? Some other bad ghost is taking over. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the end of this with the hitchhiking ghosts.
Well, they had the ghost band. That was good.
I'm trying to remember where it came from. From a ride.
Doesn't Haunted Mansion have like a creepy little girl at the end?
No, it's just they show you the mirrors, and they show you it's the end of the ride, and in the mirror they show the ghost sitting there with you.
No, there's that, but then there's something at the very end that talks to you.
I haven't been to Disneyland a couple of years, so maybe that's something that
Okay, I went last year, the end of last year, and I seem to recall there's a ghost at the end who, like, tells you to come back or something.
Oh, okay. Well, this was certainly a lot better than the Eddie Murphy movie. So you were bringing up the fact that they made all these movies off it, and I was just reminded
which I never saw,
which I'm sure most of America didn't see.
Was it better than Ghost Dad?
Nothing's better than Ghost Dad.
Well, not getting raped.
Well, I don't think he raped anybody in that. So,
well, not that we know about. Maybe during casting.
Yes, they're gonna rewrite the movie to fit with contemporary times, right?
Gross.
Last book, Ninjak 13, published by Valiant, writer Matt Kint, art by, let's see if I can pronounce it, Doug, I'm not even going to bother. It's Waithbait.
Well, Shadow Man's going to be getting his own book.
Huzzah!
But I don't know when. It's not next month.
Yeah, we don't know when, because this just skipped to the end. They freed Shadow Man, and...
It's a debrief of the mission.
Yeah, well, Ninjak said you should probably send him back there. And instead, Neville and company responded by putting him in a prison cell with his evil Loa.
Yeah, and it's a prison of magic.
Well, yeah, because they got to keep him somewhere somewhere safe.
Because reasons.
So this issue is pretty much everyone fighting Shadow Man, who we actually never got a final word on this. He was being compelled to do these things by Master Dark.
Master Dark, I imagine, is Zaloa.
Oh, he's Zaloa now? He doesn't have a body?
I think that's what that is.
Well, because they said if this thing gets out, it would be bad.
He talks about the ropes and stuff, and he's like, no, it's all psychosomatic. He could have left whenever he wants, but he's like under some weird mental control.
Yeah, because Ninjak even, he finally got him out by just, he had the girl open up the portal because he found her entire strike team or whatever that was lost before they were locked up in a dungeon. They got all them out and he had her open up the portal so they could all leave and he just kind of pushed Shadow Man through it. But, you know, the Loa, which was bad and he said was controlling him. So that's probably why I think it'd be Master Dark. Because the girl had explained, you know, no, I control mine. It doesn't control me. Pushed him out and he's in prison and he didn't get a talk again. So we don't know what's going on with him. Ninjak was really secondary to this entire story.
No, it was clearly meant to put over Shadow Man to obviously give him a book in the future.
But in a weird way, because he wasn't his own character for the majority of this comic. And even in the end, when it would have been him, he was just in prison and he didn't talk.
Well, like we discussed earlier, if you want your Ninjak fix, just read Exo Manowar.
Yeah, and they advertise Exo Manowar, but we're getting a new storyline in the next issue, so that's good. But yeah, I mean, what happened was they beat Shadow Man, they saved the dead side or whatever, and it's a better place now.
Okay. And that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
The greatest feeling all time I had all my life.
Gentlemen.
Vision.
Yeah, it's Vision. Secondary would be Wolverine.
See, I'm going to be different, and it shouldn't surprise you guys. Tony decides to pick a comedy book for his book of the week. I'm going to pick Howard the Duck.
So terrible. This is a good book, but Jesus, man.
Hey, it's whatever I like, right?
Yeah, but you should like Vision.
All right, let's move on to our final segment, next week's books.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will.
Let's pull up comiclist.com. What do we got for next week's book?
Klaus, number 4.
Forgot about that book.
Well,
by the way,
apparently so did Grant Morrison.
Speaking of vaguely German-sounding names, all week I'd been saying, he's better than to leave it on the desk of a clerk. And I couldn't...
What context?
I couldn't figure out what movie it was from, and then I realized it was from the last episode of Band of Brothers.
Oh, nice.
When there's a German general who refused to turn in his sidearm to a lowly private and demanded he turn it in to Colonel Winters. And that's what he said, and he said clerk with just such disdain. It was an amazing line. This guy's only line in the show, so he had to make it work. I just thought I'd throw that in because it's fun to say. Okay. Astro City 33. Ooh. Clean Room number 6.
Ooh. Okay, I'll stop that right now. It's going to be a lot of that probably next week.
Lucifer number 4. Book of the Week.
Also, you could do it, but I can't, right?
I'm going to be fucking right, dude. The book's going to be great.
I don't know about that. Let's not get carried away. Let's see what else there is. I'm trying to follow you with you because sometimes you tend to forget stuff.
What the fuck is Shing?
Where are you seeing that at?
I think it's IDW, but for some reason Comic List has it listed as Shing.
Oh yeah, Shing.
Unless they change their name.
And no, because it doesn't even look finished because you notice all the other publishers have lines under their names.
Yeah, that one doesn't. Well. Nope. An error on their part. Huck number 5.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Did you get that? Huck number 5?
Yeah, I got Huck number 5, dude.
Injection number 8.
Yay! Are you sure? Are you sure Lucifer is a book of the week? We got Injection.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do like Injection a lot, but we'll see.
And it does have Vivek Hedlund.
Yes, Vivek Hedlund is, oh my god, if he was in Lucifer, that'd be so good. Image, do a crossover.
Make it so.
Okay. So we got Injection, and then we have Monstrous number 4.
Got that.
Which I predict will have really good art. Rat Queens number 15.
Rat Queens.
Starve number 7.
See, we got Starve.
Yeah, you can't say that was Starve in the week, dude.
I don't know. It might not be the best book. This is gonna be a fucking great week. For me and Fat Man, we have Symmetry number 4.
Yay!
Book comes out a lot.
You can play catch up and read that.
All New Inhumans number 5. All New X-Men number 6. Astonishing Ant-Man number 6.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's a big week. Stat. We got a couple light ones though. Captain Marvel number 3. Extraordinary X-Men number 8. International Iron Man.
Hopefully this is good.
Number 1. Are we reading Power Man and Iron Fist?
I'm on the fence. If you guys don't want to read it, I won't read it. I'm not going to fight for it.
I don't want to read it just because I want to take some books off.
Okay, cool.
I can live without it.
What? Alex actually wants to take books off and read less?
Dude, I'm a lot busier now than good. I used to be.
You being busier is the best thing that happened to me in the these books.
Spider-Woman number 5.
You skipped over Scarlet Witch.
I did?
Yes.
My bad. Scarlet Witch number 4. Squadron Supreme number 5.
I'm surprised we're still reading that.
Uncanny Inhumans, number 6. Web Warriors, number 5.
Hooray!
The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong, number 1.
Awesome!
Imperium 14. Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, number 5. There's gonna be some lightning around next week.
This is like 25 books?
Let me see.
God, this is the heaviest in a while.
I do my normal shtick, but so you guys talk to each other real quick while I count this.
I like I'm trying to get my password or from the WWE Network emailed to me so I can watch that special for tonight. And I've asked twice, and it's still not emailed to me. So I'm having a problem even getting a network account.
I hope nobody from WWE is listening to this. You can just use mine.
Oh, really? I thought you didn't have one anymore.
I use my producer email, and I was able to get a free month.
Okay. Send it to me on Skype chat.
Haven't you been using it this whole time?
No. I thought your account ended.
Yeah, it's 24 books, by the way.
24?
Yeah, 24. So you're one off, so... Considering it's a complete shot in the dark, you actually did pretty good. All right, I think that's going to do it for this week's show, unless there's anything else you guys feel like talking about.
No?
No, I'm good.
All right, so from all of us at halfguarded.com, thanks for checking out this week's show, and as always, see you guys next week. Adios.